Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score.
The home run in the first is a legit homer.
9 absolutely on the first play. Here's a fly ball to deep right field. Trouble, it's going to be a two-run home run. Vinny Pasquantino gives Kansas City a quick 2-0 lead.
And then the other two homers are, you know, the Perez homer is not a home run.
Fly ball, deep left field, trouble. All the way back is half at the wall. That ball is gone.
And the last Pasquantino homer is probably still in the ballpark, and Pete probably catches it.
Now the 3-2, Pasquantino. It's a high fly ball, deep right center field. Crow Armstrong goes back. He looks up. And this one is gone. Second two-run home run of the afternoon for Vinny Pasquantino.
It's tough to, like, blame the pitcher, and that's, they did a good job of pulling the ball in the air. It was a day where you were rewarded for putting the ball in the air, and they did that. They did that part of the game certainly better than us.
Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That is me with you for the next 3 hours, live from the Hyundai Score Studios and brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I got Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass. And coming up on tonight's show, we'll get a report from the first Bears practice of training camp from Scott Bear, appropriately named because he covers the Bears for the Marquee Sports Network. And we'll talk some Cubs with Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. He's scheduled to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. And when I'm not talking to those guys, I want to talk to you at 312-644-6767. You can give me a call. You can shoot me a text. Very, very Cubs and Bears heavy show today. And I contemplated all day. Do I start the show with the Cubs or do I start the show with the Bears? And after I recovered from my morning bike ride in this heat where I heaved and cramped up and thought I was going to vomit, after I recovered from that, I contemplated all day whether I should start the show with Cubs or Bears, with training camp just kicking off and the Cubs having a game this afternoon with the Royals that ended with an 8-4 loss. And I settled on Cubs. We will get to Bears this hour if that's what you're waiting for to dial 312-644-6767. If you want to talk Cubs, jump on right now and shoot me a call or give me a text. Tyler Buterbaugh, my producer on the other side of the glass. We were talking about the show all day. You didn't object to me starting the show with Cubs, so I assume you think that was the right decision. Do you agree that was the right decision?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. We have to start off with Cubs here.
I just like to let people in, give people a peek behind the curtain on the planning of this here show. So let's talk some Cubs. 312-644-6767. And I want to know, how on edge are you about the Cubs right now? And are you already scoreboard watching? 312-644-6767. And as I said, the Cubs fall to the Royals today in an afternoon tilt at Wrigley Field. They take the series against the Cubs with an 8-4 win. Colin Ray, rough afternoon at the ballpark. 5 innings, 6 runs, all of them earned. Five of those 6 earned, and struck out 3, walked none. And it was... I like Craig Council saying that Perez home run is not a home run. And I get what he's saying. I understand what he's saying about a couple of home runs today that flew out of the park that maybe don't on other days. But, and he did say this at the end of the intro that Tyler so expertly produced for us this evening, like, those are the conditions that you were playing in, and they did a better job of playing in those conditions and pitching in those pitching to those conditions, as they were just able to get it up in the air more today. And that's what you want to do when you're playing on a hot day at Wrigley Field and the wind is blowing out. And in case you missed it, while that was happening, the Brewers were just going out there and winning again. Went out there and got a win in Seattle, 10-2, the final. And I'm scoreboard watching, and I'm on edge. I don't know about you. Not only am I scoreboard watching, I got the two TVs set up in the living room there, and I'm watching two games at once more days and nights than not when these two teams are playing. And the Brewers just keep on winning, man. What is that, 12 out of 13 now? I think they had an 11-game winning streak snapped yesterday, and they get back on the winning track today. My math says that's 12 out of their last 13. And if you heard me on the Raheemian Harris show, filling in for the Harris portion of that show last Friday. One of the five on it questions, a segment they do every weekday at noon. You should check it out, where they ask five hard-hitting questions about Chicago sports and other things. One of the questions was, if you were going to put a percentage on how confident you are that the Cubs are going to make the playoffs and or win the division, where would you put that? And by the way, Fangraphs right now, if you're curious, has given them a 94.6% chance to make the playoffs and a 54% chance to win the division. Or I'm sorry, no, I was looking at the Phillies. Let me redact that and correct that. 95.6% chance of making the playoffs and a 52.7% chance of winning the division. That division number is just a little high. Now, I said when asked that question on Five on It on the Raheem and Harris show, at that time, that was what, 5 days ago? I said 55-ish, 60-ish percent that the Cubs win this division. I'm down to 50, and it's a shaky 50 right now because this Brewers team just won't go away, and we're starting to see some cracks in the armor of the Chicago Cubs. And I'm not panicking by any means. I'm not saying that the other shoe is about to drop. So if that's what you're picking up your phone to text or call me about it, 312-644-6767, and call me a nervous Nelly or accuse me of panicking or trying to incite panic. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. But this thing is close enough that on July 23rd, like I said, I'm scoreboard watching and scoreboard watching real hard. Like in real time, I'm constantly following those Brewers if I'm not just watching them. And I was watching both games today, and coincidentally, as the Royals were sort of opening it up against the Cubs at the very same exact time, the Brewers were opening up a big lead against the Mariners, and like I said, ended up winning 10-2 and now have a one game lead in the division. And I'm on edge, not pessimistic, not, like I said, waiting for the other shoe to drop, but I am on edge about this Cubs team and about this race. Like I said, some a little bit of chinks in the armor that we're seeing here recently with the Cubs, and we're going to talk more in depth about this later and discussing what they need ahead of the trade deadline, but you've seen injuries to both PCA and Kyle Tucker post All-Star break. Neither seems serious. Bruising, apparently, to both their knees, I think. PCA on a slide the other day, and then Kyle Tucker fouling one off his kneecap yesterday. And you could hear it go off his kneecap yesterday. So I hope that doesn't cost him too much time. That cost a play just like that cost him a lot of time last year in Houston. A swing just like that broke Christian Yelich's kneecap and knocked him out for the season a few years ago, speaking of the Brewers. So I don't think it's that serious, because we would probably know by now if it was that serious, but I hope it doesn't keep him out long. And on top of that, you're seeing the bullpen struggle a little bit. And again, just a little bit of, they're finding the openings in the armor since the All-Star break with this Cubs team. And on top of that, man, I have a little bit of sports trauma, not real trauma, not real life trauma. But I have a little bit of sports trauma when it comes to the Cubs and what we just saw in 2023. I almost said 2013. It's a different decade, Rami. Get with it. They had like a 90-some percent chance, if I'm not mistaken, headed into September of that season of making the playoffs. And ended up going home. And David Ross never returned. That's how that season ended. And besides that, I just have some sports trauma, as if you're not familiar with me and my background, as a guy who has lived in Milwaukee and worked on a Milwaukee sports station for much of my career over the last 15 years. Don't worry, born and raised in Rogers Park, lifelong Cubs, Bears, Bulls fan, one of you, okay? But during that time, guys, now, we do have the World Series. We do have the World Series in 2016, and I am able to hold that over them as an organization that has never won a World Series. But when it comes to the Brewers, when it comes to, especially since 2017 and 2018, they've won the division 4 out of the last 5 years. The only division the Cubs have won since 2018 was that COVID season that was 60 games. And I don't really count that. If I'm not going to count the Lakers championship that year, I can't count the Cubs winning the division that year, can I? So the Brewers have gotten the better of the Cubs for much of my time living here. We know Packers and Bears and how that's gone. We know Bucks and Bulls and how that's gone. And I'm just a little tired of it. That's me personally. I know that doesn't apply to most of you unless you're listening on the Odyssey app somewhere up in Wisconsin. I know it does. Unless you're one of those people, it doesn't apply. But me personally, I'm a little traumatized by all that, and I'm tired of it, and I'm sick of it. So maybe I'm more on edge than some of you out there. You can let me know at 312-644-6767. But it's not just that I'm worried about the Brewers necessarily and that sports trauma that's creeping into the lens through which I watch the Chicago Cubs. I think it's really important to win this division, man, and not just get in the playoffs. And again, they have a 52, according to Fangraphs, 52.7% chance of winning the division and 95%+ chance of making the playoffs. And that's great, you know, for whatever that's worth, that, you know, it's almost 100% that they're going to make the playoffs. But baseball is a wacky sport. And again, it happens during the regular season, and I referenced the 2023 year just a couple minutes ago. But the postseason is real weird, man. The postseason is a wacky, wacky place when it comes to the sport of baseball. It's so random. More than any of the other major sports, it's so random. And it has become even more random with the new playoff structure of the added wild card teams. And even Jed Hoyer, the president of baseball operations for this team, he knows how important winning the division is with this new format in the playoffs.
I mean, ultimately, it's just about, you know, our goal is to win as many games as possible. I think that, like, that's the focus. I can't, you know, we're not going to actually play a lot of the teams the rest of the way that are in that mix, right? So, to me, it's just like, how do we focus on the Cubs winning as many games as possible? Of course, you look at playoff odds, they're there, but ultimately, like, we know those things change quickly based on tonight's game, tomorrow's game, and so you try to, I always say this, I try to focus on our team, how are we playing, how do we need to improve? Ultimately, I think that's the most important thing. You look at those odds, but again, you realize that there's some day-to-day fluctuation in there, and let's just focus on how do we, like I said, supplement this team, make this team better, and hopefully keep what we have going the same direction.
When are the phones starting to ring?
They are now. I mean, it's just like, it's going to be, you know, it'll pick up as we go. But I always caution you guys that, yes, there'll be some deals, but the expectation always is that things happen the last couple of days. This is the nature of a deadline.
So there's Jed Hoyer talking about the trade deadline, but also how important winning the division is with just a best of three series if you're one of those wild card teams now. So how on edge are you about this Cubs team? 312-644-6767. I'm going to go out to the phones in just a minute because I do want to move to Bears thoughts I have on my mind here in this 6 o'clock hour. I'm going to give you some reasons for optimism just so this isn't so gloom and doom. And like I said, I don't at all mean this to be gloom and doom or me speaking like the other shoe is about to fall. I'm like 50-50 that they're going to win this division for whatever that's worth. Here's the good news. The Cubs have a much easier schedule than the Brewers down the stretch. And I was reading a really good article at The Athletic today about how this Brewers team has done what it's done, winning 12 of their last 13 now. And what the Cubs are doing is a lot more sustainable and, in my opinion, real than what the Brewers are doing. The Brewers are very good at pitching. Oh my God, are they good at pitching, especially since calling up Mizorowski and getting Brandon Woodruff back from an injury that cost him all of last season. Freddie Peralta was already pitching at an all-star level. They're very, very good. And that bullpen just has flamethrower after flamethrower after flamethrower coming out and giving you triple digits. They're very good at fielding. They're very good at fielding the ball. They're very good at running the bases. They don't hit the ball very well. I'll spare you the details. I'm not here doing a Brewers show. I'll spare you the details. But in most offensive categories, exit velocity, OPS, you name it, they're middle of the pack or lower. So the way that they're winning right now, as good as their pitching is, I don't think as sustainable, because the Cubs, while their starting pitching isn't as good, the bullpen has been just as good, if not better, and we'll see if that falters. They field the ball just as well. They run the bases just as well. But they hit the ball hard, and they hit it out of the ballpark, and that's the best way to win games. So between that and the schedule, maybe it's a little above 50%, but it's still right around 50% that the Cubs are going to win this division. And I'm watching the scoreboard closely on July 23rd, and I'm on edge. How about you? 312-644-6767. I mentioned earlier, folks listening on the Odyssey app, Jeff is in Michigan doing just that, and now he's on the score. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got to say, on edge, not really. But definitely watching those Brewers, and it's exciting. You mentioned their pitching. You mentioned their speed and their base running. It's all going to come together when we've got two big series coming up, the Cubs and Brewers, one in Chicago, one in Milwaukee. And, you know, Craig Counsell is going to be hungry, and that's going to be really telling. So I'm not going to be on edge until we get into that series. Then I will be on edge.
That series is going to be huge. I will be attending one, maybe two of the games of that series up at AmFam Field there in Milwaukee. And yeah, that's going to be and beyond that, they have a five-game series coming up with them, including a doubleheader from that rainout last month in mid-August, I believe. Somewhere around, I know August 8th, I think August 18th is the doubleheader. So eight more games between now and then between those two teams, a three-game series and a five-game series. And, yeah, that's going to decide a lot about this division. But that's not going to decide all of how this thing is going to play out. There are plenty of games to play that aren't against the Brewers, and you just have to win more consistently than they do. And the Cubs have done that. The Cubs have been more consistent than anybody this year. When you talk about not getting swept in series, not losing more than three games in a row, the Cubs are winning as frequently as anybody and have avoided the spiral or the huge losing streak or week long or month long slump. They haven't had that. So that's encouraging also. A couple texts that have come in at 312-644-6767. This one from the 217. The Cubs were pressing to get the ball in the air today. They never adjusted to their inability to get barrels up. No stress here. Brewers will stabilize. Well, they should have been trying to get the ball in the air today. That's exactly what the Royals did, and it worked out real well for them. But yeah, the Brewers might stabilize. We'll see. Like I said, I think what the Cubs do is more sustainable than what the Brewers do. This one from the 847. On edge is a very good descriptor. They need reinforcements now! Exclamation point. Yeah, I mean, they're still a week before the trade deadline. The market hasn't really started moving now. I mean, if they made a trade today and I broke it here on the score, that would be awesome, especially if it made them a much better baseball team. That would be great. But I don't know that I'm ready to like hit the panic button and say we need reinforcements now. They need some reinforcements, and we're going to talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. And like I said, Sahadev Sharma is going to join me in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Tyler, do I have time for one more call before the break? Don on the road, you're on the score. What's up, Don?
Yeah, I'm not on edge, not at all. They're a game up.
No, they're a game down. Oh, okay. Okay.
I was saying Milwaukee's a game is a game up. And what? Cubs are four up in the wild card. I'm not on edge at all.
Okay. I admire your confidence and I appreciate that. And look, man, I'm not going to be. Actually, I might be. I was about to say I'm not going to be angry or disappointed if they sneak into the playoffs with the wild card. I might be, man. As good as this season has been, and as fun as it's been, I want a division out of this. I don't know if I'm being greedy, and but also more so, just for the logistics of moving on in the playoffs and the randomness of a best of three series. If you're one of those wild card teams, versus getting to skip that if you're a division winner. That's That's a big deal, man. One more text. 6-3-0. The Cubs hitters simply don't have enough pop in their bats. It's 94 degrees. Wind is blowing out to left field at 20 miles per hour. And no home runs from the right side of the order. Are you kidding me? I mean, the Cubs have plenty of pop in their bats. They're among the league leaders in every power category that you can name. So that's just false. And not to make excuses for anybody, but that guy on the mound today for the Royals, who is one of the names that has come up in players that the Cubs and other teams looking after starting pitching before the deadline. Seth Lugo's really, really tough on righties. Very, very tough on righties. So that plays a part in it too. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Going to get into some Bears talk here on the Score evening show. And just going to check in on the Bears. This is the first day of training camp, and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson both mentioned some goals. What goals do you have for this Bears team? That's what I want to discuss with you next. Rami Makhlouf, The Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th.
Each week, we talk about the movies and TV shows that influence Severance with the artists who make them.
Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Score.
He can throw the ball so well. There are some throws he's made on tape from last year, outside the numbers, on a rope, 20 yards down the field. That's what certainly attracts your eye. But then you see the creation of plays when things break down and he's having to evade the rush and break the pocket and potential explosives down the field. That's a little bit different dynamic than what I've been around, and really, really excited to see where that can go for us.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Ben Johnson, Bears head coach. You're listening to 670 The Score, which can now be heard on both the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps. Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score Evening Show up until 9 o'clock. Coming up at 7, we'll get a report on the first day of actual practice at Bears training camp today with Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network. And Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Yesterday, they reported, and some players and coaches were made available to the media specifically, and of most interest to most Bears fans, the man you just heard, Ben Johnson, and the man he was talking about, Caleb Williams, were made available for the gathered media out there at Bears training camp. And similar refrain from both of them as far as some goals for Caleb Williams this season. Here's Caleb Williams laying out some of his goals for the 2025 season.
Obviously, I have self goals, and that's, you know, being the first 4,000-yard passer in Bears history. That's a, you know, goal of mine. 70% completion that helps the team, keeps us on the field, puts us in better positions. And then other than that, just trying to go down and, you know, score the most points that we can with each drive that we have. So, you know, that's kind of my self goal. And obviously other than that, you got to go win. That's success for me. That's success for the team. And, you know, that's all we wish for and all I wish for.
So 4,000 yards, 70% completion percentage, and win a bunch of football games. Those are Caleb Williams' personal goals for the 2025 season. And that 70% number also heard from his head coach, Ben Johnson.
We have not put you have to complete 60% this day, 65 the next. We haven't done that. We certainly have goals that we strive for. You know, I won't even, it's not a secret. I told him I would love for him on the season to complete 70% of his balls. So you would like to think over the course of practice that we're completing 70% or more. That's hard to just magically arise in a game. So it's a lofty goal, but it's one that we're going to strive for. And so because of that, we're going to use that as our benchmark and kind of work from there.
So 70%, and we've heard Ben Johnson reference that number earlier in the offseason during OTAs and stuff, and he said completion percentage, probably a better win indicator than even interceptions and turnovers, according to the new data and analytics. So he's big on completion percentage, and obviously the message has gotten through to Caleb Williams, and for good reasons. Last year, five quarterbacks completed 70% of their passes. That was Jared Goff, who obviously played for Ben Johnson, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, and Tua Tagovailoa. Did I miss somebody there? No, those are the five guys. Those five guys completed 70% of their passes last year, and every one of them, except for Joe Burrow, who finished 9-8, and Tua, who was his season was ended after 11 games, all those guys made the playoffs. They were all in the postseason. And the 4,000 yards that Caleb referenced, also a pretty good win indicator. All six quarterbacks who threw for 4,000 yards last season had winning records. Only Geno Smith and Joe Burrow, 10-7 and 9-8 respectively, did not make the playoffs. So if he does complete 70% of his passes and he does throw for 700 yards, chances are we're talking about postseason football in January of 2026, and that would be outstanding. I would love to do that for my first time here in my time at Chicago Sports Radio 670. I might cry that day. If I get to talk about playoff football on these airwaves that I dreamed about talking about all my life, I might shed a tear just so everybody is ready for that. But I want to know, what are some goals, benchmarks, that you'd like to see them achieve? And it can be wins. If you want to be basic about it, it can be wins. Just, yeah, I want 9 wins or I want 10 wins. But try to dig a little deeper. And what are some goals or benchmarks that would have you feeling really, really good after year one of the Ben Johnson era and his time coaching Caleb Williams? It could be about Caleb Williams. It could be another player and their stats. It could be something more big picture. What goals, what benchmarks would you like to see the Bears achieve in 2025? 312-644-6767. You heard Caleb and Ben Johnson mention 70%, 4,000 yards. And those are great. Those are great. And like I said, if they do those, chances are we're talking about postseason football. And that would be awesome. But what's something that you have on your radar as far as goals or benchmarks for the Bears? I'll give you two. Only two. I don't want to steal your thunder, so you can line up or shoot the text at 312-644-6767. Tell me what you're looking for after I give you my two goals or benchmarks that I'd like to see this Bears team achieve this year. One, and I think this is pretty obvious. I know I asked you to be creative and dig a little deep, but I'm going to go with the obvious one first. And it's less sacks, man. We know the numbers. I said I know the numbers and then I forgot the numbers. 64 sacks, I think, last year for Caleb Williams. I tried to block it out. They were last in the league in total sacks. They were last in the league in sacks per game. They gave up 4 sacks per game. 68, thank you, Tyler. I love that I said we all know the numbers, and then I didn't know the number. My bad.
I also tried to, like, just forget that whole number.
Thank you. I think a lot
erase
of us
it
did.
From my memory, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of us tried. I knew it was 60-something, and then I blacked out. Then after 60, I just blacked out. And don't recall the rest of this Bears season.
I ran out of fingers.
But I do know that they gave up 4 sacks per game. I'm looking at that right now, courtesy of teamrankings.com. And that's the worst in the league. Get into the top half. Get into the upper half. Like, be top 16 in sacks. And that, I know that's not great. That still had Jets quarterbacks on the ground and Dolphins quarterbacks, including Tua Tagovailoa, who I just mentioned, his season was over after 11 games. Still had those guys on the ground for about 2.5 sacks per game. Not great. That's not great. But, man, it would go a long way in correcting what was wrong with this offense last year. If you could just go from 4 sacks a game to 2.5 sacks per game and move into the upper half. I saw a stat the other day on GetUp. Caleb Williams lost almost as many yards getting sacked as he did running with the football. His sack yardage almost canceled out all his running yardage. So all the times that we got excited about Caleb Williams breaking loose and running for a first down or whatever, all of that got canceled out. All of that got canceled out pretty much by the sacks. So imagine if you just cut it in half. That's 300 some yards that you left on the field last year over the course of the season. That's not nothing. So get into the upper half in sacks allowed next year. And then the other one This was a goal I heard a lot of people throwing around heading into training camp last year, and I haven't heard it this year. I know Dennis Allen spoke today. I've heard bits and pieces of it. I don't know if he mentioned what I'm about to mention. Be a top five defense. Be a top five defense in this league. Last year, they went from the goals and aspirations of being a top five defense to being 27th. They fell well short of that goal. I don't know if I need to lay that out for you, and not just tell you they had a goal of being top five and ended up 27th. That's falling well short, and that's the side of the ball. And I know they've gone and gotten Caleb some weapons and overhauled the offensive line here in this particular offseason, but that is the side of the ball where a lot of the assets and resources that Ryan Poles had in the first 3 years of his tenure, that's where a lot of it went. Not all of it. They put some resources and assets on the offensive side as well. I'm not saying they didn't, including Caleb Williams with the number one pick in the draft. But more of it went to the defensive side of the things. And that's why heading into training camp last year, a lot of us in the media, a lot of us fans, a lot of folks at Bears camp were talking about being a top five defense, and most of those guys are still there. Time to live up to the hype and the expectations and the money and the draft picks that all those guys came with. I think it's totally possible. And I really like Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator to be a top five defense. And that will make Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson's lives immensely, exponentially easier. I have what's called the Maklouf theorem. Tyler Buterbaugh, have I gone over the Maklouf theorem with you yet?
I was going to say, this is new to me. I don't think so.
Okay. It's really complicated. If you're driving, you can't do this, but Tyler and anybody else, maybe you're just hiding in your house from the heat today. Get out a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil or something, because this is complicated, right? Are you ready for this? Tyler, are you ready?
I'm ready, my friend.
This is the Maklouf theorem. You might have heard it before. The more points you score, the more points you can allow and still win games. And the inverse is true, that the fewer points you allow, the fewer points you will need to win games. I know. It's complicated. I understand.
So carry the two.
Tyler, I've checked the math. It checks out. It checks out. It's rock solid.
I believe you.
Okay, thank you. It 100% checks out. So, look, man, 70% and 4,000 yards would be great. Would be great, and is almost punching a ticket to the playoffs. But if you're a top five defense, maybe in, you know, Ben Johnson's first year as a head coach and Caleb Williams' first year playing for a real coaching staff, and maybe having at least an average offensive line in front of him, maybe 65 or 68% and 3,800 yards would be enough. You know, if you have a top five defense, just take some of the pressure. And I know everybody's excited about Ben Johnson and his high flying, highfalutin, fancy, tricky offense, and Caleb Williams still riding the wave of the hype that comes with being a number one pick and quote unquote generational talent. And we all want to see that side of the ball excel and be a 21st century offense. And I can't wait for that either. But maybe just to give them a little cushion and a little time to grow into that, you be that defense that you talked about being last year. With a lot of the same guys, and I think a better defensive coordinator than what Matt Eberflus was. So those are just a couple of things for me. Be in the top half in sacks allowed. Be a top five defense. Those are a couple of things I have in mind. Goals, benchmarks I'd like to see this Bears team reach this year, outside of just wins and outside of the goals that Caleb and Ben laid out. 312-644-6767. What are some goals or benchmarks that you have for this football team? 312-644-6767. I want to take some of your calls, some of your texts, maybe talk about Ryan Poles a little bit. Right after this, it's Rami Maklouf. It's the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Part of it is, you know, my footwork and that lining up with the play. And, you know, that helps accelerate the clock for me. The other part is being decisive and, you know, making a decision. And then the other part is also taking what the defense gives me, you know, not trying to find that big play every time and be the young cat and, you know, want to go and, you know, get that big play, you know, big scramble play or anything like that. Sometimes it's just the check down over the ball, the flat, you know, the second read that, you know, may not be, you know, something more than 5 yards.
There's Caleb Williams, Bears quarterback, talking about what he can do to reduce the number of sacks. That was one of two goals, benchmarks, that I laid out that I'd like to see from the Bears this season. Be in the top half of the league in sacks allowed, go from worst to top half, and be that top five defense that everyone believed you could be last year. And for some reason, I don't hear many people referencing that this year or pointing to that as a goal for the Bears team this year. I'm right back on that. Be a top five defense and make life easier for Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. What are some goals that you have for this Bears team? Benchmarks, maybe 312-644-6767. Once again, I'll talk with Scott Baer, who covers the Bears for the Marquee Sports Network, coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll want to hear from you right here and talk a little Bears. I had some good ones here in the text line. Goal for the Bears, top 10 in the least amount of three and outs. Yeah, that would be great. Man, were they bad on third down last year. Every time they had a third down, I was like, well, that's the end of this drive. That'll be that. This one from the 262. I'm a simple guy with a simple goal. I want to see a professional-looking team over the entire season. I'm sick of the clown car. Just look professional. That's all our texter from the 262 wants from this football team is just look professional. And I will say, I did have, if the phone lines didn't light up or the text didn't come in, I had a third goal or benchmark that I was going to go to, which was fewer penalties. But I looked at it. And they actually were, I mean, not good. They weren't particularly good at anything last year. That's how you lose 10 games in a row. But not as bad as I thought they were when it comes to penalties. Tyler, where would you guess the Bears ranked last year in most penalties?
I'm going to say 19th.
They were 18th in the league. They were 6.5 penalties per game. And that was tied with a handful of other teams. 6.5 penalties per game, which was just middle of the pack. It felt a lot worse watching last year, but I think that was just, you know, the frustration of many things about that football team compiling. And I was going, oh, another offsider! But, not terrible. Not good, but not terrible. They were right in the middle of the pack with 6.5 penalties per game. You know what's weird, though? Here's a weird little stat. They averaged almost one more penalty per game at home than away. That's wild. Because you don't have to deal with crowd noise at Soldier Field. How do you have an extra penalty per game on your home field? That didn't. When I saw that, I was like, huh, that's another weird bad thing about last year's Bears team. I wasn't looking for that, but that's what I got. Another weird, bad thing about that team. 260, my goal for the Bears is they need to go at least 5-1 in the division. Then out of the division games, or the out-of-division games are brutal, and they will end 10-7. What are some goals, benchmarks you have for this Bears team in 2025? 312-644-6767. Let's go all the way out in L.A. and Fernando listening on the Odyssey app. Fernando, you're on the Score, buddy. What's up?
Hey, Robbie, what's going on?
Just talking Bears on the Score.
That's right, that's right. Well, I really didn't want to get into, like, the records and everything because we've been doing that for the past couple years, and every year we get disappointed. So basically, I just want our Bears to compete and just sweep the Packers, finally. We should have had them last year. I was agreeing with Spiegel all last year, and we should have swept them last year, but that damn block field goal messed us up. So,
yeah,
that's where I stand.
I appreciate the call. And that blocked field goal, wasn't that the second blocked field goal in 2 weeks for the Bears? And it was from the same spot the same weak spot in that in the offensive line on special teams on that field goal unit?
I believe you're right. Yeah,
that's a that's another example of just how inept the Bears were last year, that you couldn't correct that. And that teams, I remember hearing that teams around the league had noticed that the Bears had this fault, this flaw, this opening in their field goal unit, and the Bears didn't see it themselves. Okay, it's a new year. I'm getting worked up about how bad they were last year. Let it go, Robbie. This from the 773. Hello, my hope for Bears benchmarks for 2025. A few wins where the offense has the ball, has to bail out the defense. And the offense led by the quarterback is the reason for winning, specifically by the end of the season. I want the Bears to be a team that could come into the fourth quarter down two touchdowns and still have the opposing coach and defensive coordinator nervous. That's Stanley in Aurora. Yeah, it'd be cool if they were that by the end of the season. I got to remind myself that while I don't have much of it, especially in year four of the Ryan Poles era, got to have a little bit of patience about Caleb, about Ben Johnson. And so saying by the end of the season, I think is a good qualifier to put on that. I do want to get in one call on what we were talking about earlier in the hour, Cubs, and how on edge you are about them right now. How closely are you scoreboard watching as they are down one game to the Brewers in the NL Central right now? And Alan in Wisconsin has been waiting patiently. I want to make sure I get Alan in before we get right back to Bears with Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network. What's up, Alan? What you got for me, buddy? Alan, is he still there?
Hey, Rami, we miss you, man.
There he is. What's up, Alan?
Hey, we miss you. Hey, I wanted to you talked about the Brewers earlier. You say it's not sustainable. I mean, how do you win the World Series? Good pitching, we got it. Time of hitting, we got it. And defense, we got it. So I'm a little confused. What do you mean by that?
Alan, I said not as sustainable as what the Cubs are doing, and I appreciate the call, man, and the kind words about missing me in Milwaukee. I'm still there every once in a while, filling in for my guy Sparky on the afternoon show. It's not as sustainable. And when you talk about the formula for winning in the postseason, I know a lot of like old school conventional thinkers think it's the small ball and pitching does play a big part, but the biggest indicator of wins and losses, statistically, this is a fact, the biggest indicator of wins and losses, both in the regular season, but even more so in the postseason, is home runs. I don't have the percentages in front of me. I've heard Bucciambi and JD on the call on Marquee reference it a whole bunch of times. There's no better indicator than hitting home runs. And the Brewers, yes, they do a lot of things well, and their offense has improved. They don't hit a lot of home runs, and they just don't hit the ball very hard overall. They haven't over the course of this season. They're in the middle of the pack or lower half in exit velocity and OPS and almost any offensive category that you can think. I think their leader in home runs is Christian Yelich with like 13 or 14. So that's what I meant. The power of the Cubs lineup, the pop of the Cubs lineup, is what gives them the edge in terms of sustainability and the likelihood of winning more baseball games. That doesn't mean that the Brewers can't do it. I'm just saying that might be why FanGraphs gives them a little bit better chance at 52.7% to win the division than what they do the Brewers, because they just hit the ball harder and put it over the fence more often and get extra base hits more often. That's all I meant by that. Hope I didn't offend you, Alan. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Like I said, jump right back to some Bears talk. Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network at Bears Camp. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next on The Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Baseball fans, The Score is your MLB trade deadline.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.